Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
City on the Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we are so grateful to be able to air such programs as the one we're going to have on today. And it is so important. I was a little saddened last night with the news because I was thinking to myself personally, as a citizen, I would like to hear more in my news programs than, unfortunately, what was being portrayed last night and probably the night before. And I think, you know, America was lessened, I think, of that incident. But here at City on a Hill radio show, we try to put forth a lot of important details on a lot of important issues. And today we're going to be dealing with the future of America because the children of America is our future. And we love them so dearly. So we're going to talk about these issues, about our children today with a passion because really when all else is gone, the children that we have, our grandchildren and children, are what matters. So we would like to start off with asking you to share today's program. It's going to be on live streaming right now, and it will also be on podcast. So we ask that you please send copies of this to your friends and family because they need to know what little bit we know. There is so much. It's going to take all of us to really dig in, and we're so proud of some of the people like Lou Campomenosi and Miss Eloise Zena that's going to be here with us, and also Peyton Wolcott. They have dug in, and they have found some really great information to share with you today. So we'd like for them to please get their thoughts together. As I get my thought together, it's always good to do what the Founding Fathers did, which is to begin everything with prayer. But I'm hoping that Miss Margaret Dodds is on the air with us. Is she on, Miss Barbara?
I'm hoping so. We have three guests with us.
Okay, let me go ahead and ask.
Actually, two guests besides ourselves.
Two guests? Okay, she may not be on. Miss Margaret, if you're not on, if you are, say something. Okay, I'm not looking at the switchboard. Thank God for Miss Barbara is handling the switchboard today. So, Miss Margaret's not on yet.
I think I heard Dr. Lou.
I'm here. Dr. Lou is here.
I heard
How
Dr.
y'all doing?
Well,
great.
Hi, Dr. Lou. Well, doing great. Well, we'll start off with a prayer, and I guess I'll start it off with a prayer, Miss Barbara, and hopefully Miss Margaret will join us later.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God. We thank you, Lord, that for some reason you saw fit to plant us here, Lord, in a land called America, the United States of America. And what a privilege it is, Lord, to shine your goodness and your light. We thank you, Lord, for your presence upon those men of inspiration that formed the great Constitution, Lord, that we want to follow because it has blessed many generations, and we want to continue to bless many generations. And, Lord, today we pray that you would give each one of us the words to say, that the message of truth again be heard throughout the land. We thank you for this opportunity.
Right lane, I think. Go north.
And we want to give you all the glory and honor and praise. And we ask these things, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You so much for this opportunity. And as we just want to go ahead and ask Miss Eloise, and I mispronounced that, Miss Alina,
Alois.
How do you pronounce your first name?
Alois.
Miss Lois. Okay, yeah. I can do that. If you don't mind, we'll start you off with introducing yourself. Miss Barbara always does a great job introducing people. Barely do I do that, but I think it would be good to let you, since it's your first time, talk a little bit about yourself to start off.
Well, I have a broad background in politics, yeah. government, and volunteerism. I returned to my Alabama roots in 2003. I had lived in California for 27 years, and while there, I served 8 years on the city council with one term as mayor. And since being back in Alabama, surprise, surprise, I got involved in politics. I said I wasn't going to, but here I am. And I'm currently the president of the Alabama Federation of Republican Women. And I'm delighted to be here today.
Well, thank you. You have a servant's heart. I have looked a little bit about you, and it's really just amazing because, you know, you've already done so much, yet here you go again. I guess once a servant, always a servant. And
whether
we're
want to or not.
Yes. And Mr. Lou Campomenosi, we are just so glad that you joined us, sir. Would you mind saying a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a adjunct professor at Tulane, and I will be teaching at University of Mobile this fall. I teach various courses in political science, war and terror, international relations, American foreign policy, of course, on the Vietnam War. So I've been doing this for a number of years since I retired from the Marine Corps. I was a career Marine, and I've been involved with the Tea Party movement for the last 2 years up in North Alabama when we were living in Florence, and then when we moved down to Daphne, I started to work with Common Sense Campaign, and that's what I've been doing, really staying active in the political process through the Common Sense Campaign and our Tea Party. That's basically what I've been doing.
Well, thank you for that. And I don't know if Miss Payton's joined us. Miss Barbara, has she joined us already?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let Miss Barbara, she is our historian. I mean, I'm just so blessed that every day I get to speak with this wonderful lady that just reminds me how much blessed I am with her reminder. So if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, would you set us off on the right time with reminding us the blessing? I know you do that with history so well.
Well, this has been a nation like no other nation on the face of the earth. When our nation was settled and founded, the founding fathers from the very beginning, and I'll go back further than the founding fathers that we think of during the independence, the war for independence, and the Articles of Confederation, the United States Constitution, those that worked on all of those. But even going back further into colonial days with William Penn and further on back to John Winthrop and the Pilgrims and so forth, we were founded upon godly principles, and that was the desire that we would be a city upon a hill, as it says in God's Word, and that we would be an example to the world. We would do things, we would have a covenant. We had a covenant with God to serve Him and to honor Him and to learn from Him and apply His principles to all of life. And that's what they did. And as a result of that, through the many years, as a result of that, we had unprecedented freedom and opportunity and prosperity and the highest standard of justice the world had ever known. And so that is our foundation, and it was based upon biblical truth, biblical principles, which God has ordained for man. And the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and we have been blessed above all other nations, and we're so very grateful. And we want to learn, we want to discover those principles, uncover them once again, that we might return to our roots and our heritage, our biblical heritage. And we're just so grateful that we have this opportunity to join with others on the radio show and do just that. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And that sets us on the right course. You know, we're all about truth, and the Bible is the best standard, I think, for right living, you know, because Jesus says for us to love one another, you know, to care for our brothers and sisters. So we want to lay the truth out. Unfortunately, it's not covered in the mainstream media enough. And today, we have two that was is really very mindful of what's going on in the state legislature. So if you don't mind, Lou, if you don't mind in addressing a little bit, I guess, a short overview of what transpired in the legislature, would you like to do that?
Sure, Diana. Let me just say that there was a portion of what you were saying that I'm on my cell phone, so and we're up in Ohio, so I didn't quite catch everything. Did you speak about this issue about the Common Core standards and what's going on in the legislature in regards to what we're trying to do to promote a resolution? Did you mention that?
No, I have not. But
okay.
If you would like to mention that, go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what Barbara was talking about in terms of this idea of American exceptionalism, when you look at it from a political standpoint, it brings us to the point where this idea that that government which governs least governs best, it's a Jeffersonian formulation, that idea has taken root in this country. And it's not only taken root in our ideas, but it's taken root in the Constitution, so that federalism gives the local people control over various elements of their lives, okay? And this was done deliberately because the founders understood that they had to divide power. They could not have centralized power in a government and expect that freedom was going to be respected. That was the lesson of history that they had learned. So in the end, we have this long tradition of local control. And one element of that local control tradition is in education. So now, Diana, did you hear all of that? Because I have to double check and make sure I haven't lost you.
Oh, you sound real good to me. Oh, yes,
okay,
I heard
that's, I'm sure I sound good for other reasons other than the loudness. Okay, but but I'm glad you heard it. Okay, all right. So we have this long tradition of federalism and local control over various aspects of political affairs, including importantly, education. And now we have, over the last 100 years or so, a group of people we can easily call progressives who are attempting to move education in a much different direction, okay? And the argument basically at this particular point in time is that because American education has had this crisis, really you can pick out any year. Bill Bennett picked it out in 1983 with his marvelous critique of American education, but in the late 50s, we were going through the same critiques because of Sputnik and, you know, why are we losing the Cold War and the science race and all like that. We have this problem here now, though, where once again, American education is under fire, and it's under fire from a group of people who really believe that they know best, and that they believe that if we just have national standards that apply to every state and every locale, then we will be able to solve our education problems, making ourselves more competitive in a world that is more competitive because of globalization. And by doing that, in their view, this will enhance America's ability to maintain itself in a globalized, competitive world. That's the basic idea as I understand it. And this is one of the things that Lois and I were talking about yesterday on TBN, which will be broadcast in August. But this idea is fundamentally opposed and at odds with the things that you and Barbara believe, the things that most Alabamians believe, that most Americans believe. And yet, it seems to be that we are very close to the edge of losing our ability to control education at the local level. And the way that is working is because people from the Gates Foundation, working hand in glove with the Obama administration, with the Department of Education, violating the laws that are there restricting what they can do along these lines. They're doing it anyway. And what's happened is you have this concerted effort to apply a one-size-fits-all national core curriculum to the whole country. And people like Lois, like me, like Chastity, like Uni Smith, Bradley Byrne, we have said no to this, and we've asked our legislators to sign and pass a resolution that basically says to our state school board, which back in November went down this road of agreeing to these national core standards, that we want them to revoke this. We don't want this in Alabama. And our feeling, and I truly believe this, is that once people understand what has been done, they will be up in arms, because there's no way that we want our children, A, to be, you know, under the thumb of some bureaucrat who's going to be writing rules and regulations aside from national core standards. That is just not the way we are going to, you know, see things working in a good way. If you like the IRS, and if you like dealing with all these bureaucracies in Washington today, guess what? It's going to be 10 times worse, especially if you've got kids in school and you have no way of changing anything that these people are doing. And so our basic argument here is this is a fundamental attack on our freedoms and liberties, and we're not going to stand for it. And if we can just awaken enough people to it, I think we'll be okay. Am I still on the air?
You certainly are, and you sound very clear. You put it greatly for us, Mr. Liu. Now, Ms. Ellis, would you mind explaining your side of the story, what your perception of it is?
Yes. Liu had just mentioned that I believe it was Dick Brubaker who submitted a resolution to Alabama legislature on these Common Core standards and asking our State Board of Education to rescind its November 18, 2010 vote to adopt these standards. I believe the State Board of Education members were in error, and I believe part of that is because they didn't have all the information, that they were misled, and evidence has since come out to prove that this Common Core Standards is a fundamental change, and it will be a federal takeover of our local control. So let's just hope that tomorrow, Thursday, being the last day of this legislative session, that they will approve that resolution. It won't take much time, and I hope they'll do that. Now, in terms of where AFRW, the Alabama Federation of Republican Women, stand on this issue. We stood up at the outset when we heard that the State Board of Education was going to vote on national standards, and we opposed it. And we opposed it for several reasons. It was clear to us that national standards, which they call Common Core State Standards, is the centerpiece for the Obama administration's agenda. He wants to centralize education at the federal level. And when you look into this, you see that's what they're doing. Very importantly, there are federal laws that prohibit the federal government from endorsing or dictating national standards, exclamation point. That should be the end of it. That should in itself be the basis on which our state Board of Education makes its decision, but it hasn't. However, as with cap and trade, as with so many other things, the Obama administration is getting around the federal laws by using regulations to dictate national standards. And the Obama administration is also using federal funds to buy off states to adopt these standards. It is imperative that teachers, that parents, that concerned taxpayers learn more about what these national standards are. There are some websites that they can go to right now. It's the Alabama Eagle. It's also the Alabama Policy Institute. And great news, tomorrow there's going to be a new website called Truth in American Education that is devoted to these Common Core standards. So I hope people will click into that website tomorrow and learn that parents are going to lose control. Taxpayers will continue to pay for education, but we will have no say in the curricula, in the teacher instruction, in the testing, in the textbooks. I mean, this is serious, yet it is riding so low beneath the radar that people have not heard about this. So I'm so appreciative that you're giving us time to alert your listeners so that they can inform themselves and then get involved. It is urgent that they call their individual State Board of Education members, as well as their city and county boards of education, and tell them to retain local control and to rescind that vote of November 18, 2010. Now, there's another vote coming, and we hear that the State Board of Education will vote before year's end on adopting what they call testing assessments. And if they vote for that as well, I'm sorry, it's going to be the nail in the coffin for Alabama. We're in. And it's just like Obamacare. If that ever gets implemented, there's never any opting out. And actually, Obamacare is a good example because the Obama administration is using the same model for Obamacare or for national education standards as he used for Obamacare. So please beware.
Well, can I just say
indeed.
One of the things that Alois mentioned, which really kind of frames this, yes, it's an attack on local control of education, but these attacks have come in the form of, you know, various approaches to getting around the fact that they can't pass things in the democratically controlled, you know, House and Senate last year. They couldn't pass, well, they did pass cap and trade in the House, and then the Senate wouldn't pass it. So what they ended up arguing was that, well, we'll go ahead and have the EPA pass regulations. I mean, so again, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's cap and trade, whether it's national standards, there is this drive from an ideological standpoint to centralize and control everything. And this is the part that so infuriates us, is that they can't pass it through the constitutional means, so they will use any other means which they feel are okay, but we obviously totally disagree, reject, and are going to fight. I mean, and I think this is the key thing here, Diana, is that your radio program and what you all are doing with your other ways of getting the word out are so critical, because unless we get people involved with this, this is going to be a done deal. And that's why it's so critical for you to be doing what you're doing, and it's so critical to see people like Governor Perry in Texas taking a stand and saying no to the Common Core standards and standing up for the rights of Texans. And we have got to do that in Alabama, and we've got to start a movement throughout the country to explain and make people understand that this isn't about education. It's about federal control of one element of our lives, and it's going to just trickle down into everything. Because once they control the education, then guess what? They're going to control the minds of these children. You mentioned earlier the children are the key to the future. That's absolutely true. But these communists do know that. They know it quite well. And they know that if they can just get hold of education, then they are going to be, you know, halfway home towards their ultimate goal, which is to fundamentally change this country. And I think that that is really the battle that we're having.
And, you know, Mr. Lee, you said it so well. And also, Ms. Barbara, whenever Ms. Payton comes on, just tell her to go ahead and introduce her, because I don't think she can stay on very long. But you're mentioning Texas, Mr. Lou, and we have Peyton Wolcott. And Peyton Wolcott was the source in a New York Times article that just came out June the 6th about charter schools tied to turkey grow in Texas. And what it is because of this woman's hard work in researching, you know, she is exposing so much corruption that is going on in her state of Texas. And what she does very well is she follows the money. And she has really followed that money to the point that, you know, it's just out there that these legislators are receiving money from the same people who asked for their yes vote, you know, to be able to get out of the committee that would hopefully allow some of these Turkish charter schools to get more of the endowment money that Texas has set aside for their textbooks. And it's so unfortunate when big names, Mr. Lou, I just want to point, big names like Karen Hughes are in that group. Cosmos Foundation, the leaders of this money, you know, trying to get money out of the Texas endowment for textbooks. I mean, what a shame. And this is why it's so important for people like you and Ms. Zena to join together with others, because we are fighting people in higher places.
Yes, we are. And what you're saying is, you know, who will profit and what is the agenda? We know what the agenda is. Once you start looking into this, the agenda is ideology. It's not education for our kids. And who will profit? Talking about following the money, people must do that. And I understand that on the Eagle Forum website, there are documents that follow the money of people who are behind national standards. So it is important to understand who the people are, how they're personally going to profit, and what their agenda is.
Yes.
Well,
and
is
Mr.
So
Lou,
true.
You were...
And I think, I think that one of the things that we have been just sort of, you know, completely hoodwinked over is this argument that somehow these national standards, you know, have been tested and they're all, you know, expert opinion is behind it and everything else like that. All of this has been funded by the Gates Foundation, okay, and they have created studies through foundations that have experts, so-called experts, but all they've been able to do, essentially, is to validate their conclusions right from the beginning. Now, it used to be that scientific methodology would bring about, you know, objective objective conclusions. There's no such thing here. These people knew exactly what they were being bought off and paid for to get the conclusions they wanted. Now, one of the things that Chastity Mirov said yesterday, and it's so true, if you're a doctor and you find a cure for cancer, what happens when you find that cure? Does it automatically go out to the public? The answer is obviously no. The FDA and other people get hold of it, they test it, they make sure it's safe. Have we done anything like that with national standards in education? No. They don't intend to do that because they know that all they want to do is get control of the educational process, and they're doing it by having this race to the top money, which is federally funded money through the Obama stimulus plan. It is an incestuous, sick relationship, and the only way we can do this and stop it is to get through the Republican Congress to turn the money spigot off. And I think Alois mentioned that yesterday as one of her points about what we want to do. And then maybe this is a good time for Alois to go ahead and just kind of explain some of those ideas that we had yesterday about how we can actually defeat this through education and information and mobilization.
Yes. As with cap and trade, as we mentioned earlier, as with our conservative talk radio, where they can't get it through Congress or the courts will knock it down, they go through regulations. That's what they're doing here. And in addition to us contacting our state boards of education and saying, stop this now, we also must contact our Congress members, because the Obama administration is asking Congress to tie national standards into reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which is now called the No Child Left Behind. We must personally contact our Congress members and ask them to do two things. First, protect the constitutional and statutory prohibitions against the federal government endorsing or dictating national standards, and two, refuse to tie national standards to the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind or any other aspect of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Congress can stop this and tell them they must.
Miss Eloise, I'm sorry, I missed that last sentence. Would you repeat that again? I want to make sure the listeners caught your last thought there.
Yes, they must contact their Congress members and tell them they must stop this Obama administration getting around the prohibitions of federal law, which say they cannot endorse or dictate national standards, because they're trying to get Congress to pass legislation that will tie national standards to the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind. So Congress must be apprised of this and asked to stop this now.
Ms. Barbara, you know, that Abe Lincoln quote that I can't remember right now that you say it so many times about the philosophy of the schoolroom, can you remember
yes,
that
philosophy.
Quote?
The philosophy of the classroom in this generation will become the philosophy of government in the next generation.
Oh, that is
that's
so wonderful.
What you're talking about. Yes.
That is so wonderful. And you know, that's what you were talking about earlier as well. Lou was saying this is not a new idea to get federal control of our local education and centralized decisions in Washington, D.C., through a body of bureaucrats. This is not new, and we have got to stop this. And I was going somewhere, and I'm sorry, something just happened to my phone, and it dropped. But
one of the things that they're trying
to get control.
Yes, and one of the things that you said before, Alois, was we've got to retain local control. We've got to get back to local control because with the vote of the Alabama State School Board regarding the Common Core standards and adopting them, that was stripped away. So we've got to get back to local control. And something that you were saying, Dr. Liu, just everything that has been said has been so very good. But I was getting the picture of cookie-cutter education, and
right.
Obama is holding the cookie-cutter, and he is inputting into the recipe radical environmentalism,
ideas,
homosexuality,
exactly.
globalism, anti-Americanism,
sure.
anti-constitutionalism. All of those radical ideas are in his recipe for making these cookies. And he is holding that cookie cutter. And, you know, they're taking over all the authority for our children's education
yeah.
and leaving parents with nothing but the responsibility, with none of the authority, just like the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which the Obama administration advocates as well. It does away with
right.
parental authority, but then leaves the parents with all the responsibility. So back to local control. And one other thing, I spoke with Representative Paul Lee from the Dothan area last night and forwarded the resolution that Senator Dick Brubaker had written. And so he's looking at it, and he's going to be contacting Dick Brubaker and looking at possibly introducing the resolution into the House tomorrow.
Well,
fantastic.
I think that's great
wow.
if they're going to do that, because we've been trying to get the Education Committee to move on this, and it's not that hard, okay, from my understanding. But for whatever reason, of course, I realize that they are under tremendous pressure to get a lot done in the last week here, in the last day of normal meetings. They have to do this. But you know, our basic argument is that you can't forget about things. You know, but you can face that everything is important. But if everything is important, then nothing is important. I mean, this is a fundamental attack on how we educate our children. And I hope that
that's
they
right.
realize this. And again, Scott Dixon was on, I think 2 weeks ago, we were on this program talking about this. And we had a Tea Party person from Texas and from California. And Scott was fully supportive. In fact, he had been to the state board meeting and spoke against adopting the CCI. And so, you know, it's not so we don't have friends, you know, supporting our position. But given the time constraints, it could very well be that we could have just been a little bit late getting this for them. Hoping that's not the case. But Barbara, I will often urge you to call your Dothan representative again and just light fire. And we've got to have this push through as best we can.
Yes.
Yes, Barbara, nothing is more important than our children and our education. They can make room for our children. It'll take 5 minutes tomorrow.
Right. Right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I find interesting is that this whole question of local control is something that you, if you read through the history of how, just in the recent history with Jimmy Carter, okay, which he promised when he had when he started this Department of Education, he basically said that he would create such a cabinet level department, assure the public in the State of the Union address of January 23, 1979, that state localities and private institutions would continue to bear, quote, primary responsibility for education. So, I mean, not only is it a 10th Amendment issue, not only is it a statutory, you know, part of education, we have that precedent saying something along the lines of exactly what we're saying. And yet in 40 years' time, look where we are. And again, my basic premise here is that they will say one thing knowing full well that they want to do something else. And we have let them get away with this for so long until Obama has created so many problems for us and has really laid down the gauntlet, and we either have to face this challenge or give into it. And I can tell you, as a retired Marine, I'm not about to give in to anything that these people want to do, not in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think most of the people who are listening to this want to either. And we better wake up, and we better stop them while we have a chance.
And we don't have
time.
No, we don't have much time.
The school board
will vote
before this year's end.
Now, I have a question about Governor Bentley. We know that when Bob Riley was governor, he was the force behind pushing this vote for the Common Core standards through the school board. He was the major force. Where does Governor Bentley stand on this?
I think you should
My understanding is that he's opposed it, but I think that we do need to get him, you know, to sign in blood that he's opposed to it. As I recall, I interviewed Bentley before the election, okay, and I interviewed a bunch of other candidates. But my understanding was that Bentley was opposed to what was going on with this. Riley, on the other hand, and I think she has the best interpretation of this, she spent an hour with Riley before the school board vote back in November, and she could not get through to him, could not make him understand the nature of the threat, would not acknowledge that there was, in fact, a threat. He just saw this as something good. But he also has his own agenda here, and I think this is something that we need to explore, because he wants to have his own educational foundation. And he basically said, Bill Gates is a friend of mine, and Bill Gates would not do anything bad. Well, look, you know, we all have good friends, and some do good things, some do bad things. But you cannot trust Bill Gates on this issue. I'm sorry. It is a done deal as far as Gates is concerned, and we have got to fight it. And I'm just sorry that Riley could not see the forest for the trees on this for whatever reason. But both Riley and Bentley have got to be, talked to again. And somehow we've got to make sure that other members of the legislature and the establishment, you know, understand the threat and are willing to fight for what we're fighting for.
Okay, that's right. That's right. I believe we have Peyton Wolcott joining us now. Peyton?
Hi, y'all. I have just about 5 minutes. I came in on the tail end of that, and I'm so glad to hear such spirited caring there in Alabama for our children. I wanted to share with you what is just happening here in Texas. We have a situation where we have we've had five different versions of the same bill try to make it through our state legislature in just 4 months. This bill would give a permanent school fund guarantee to charter school operators, which would allow them access to the permanent school fund as a guarantee for their construction bonds, which would allow charter operators to go into overdrive with their expansion plans. And what I'm envisioning is we've had one in particular, the Cosmos Foundation runs the Harmony Charter School. They're all Turkish themed. They have already announced a 6-state expansion. We have defeated the bill that tried to pass without the 3 safeguards that the Texas Eagle Forum and I came up with. These safeguards are proof of U.S. citizenship for all charter operator board members and their leadership. Right now, our local school district trustees are all elected, and to run for office, you have to be a U.S. citizen. But these charter operator boards can just be appointed. So we suddenly have a lot of Turkish people running charter schools here in Texas. We've got They told me 34. The New York Times did an article Monday, which you might have seen. If you'll Google, go to New York Times, and or I've got the link on my website, www.peytonwalcott.com. It's at the far right. You can see the link to the article. They say 33, but the Harmony people told me 34 last month, or in April in Austin. So we've got this situation where we've got all these Turkish people running the charter schools. So the second thing is, tell us the names, titles, and bios of all of the leaders and their the board members and their highest paid administrators. So we've got a situation right now where with Harmony, they don't tell us any of their names, whereas Kip, for example, tells us everybody who does anything, which is great. And then the third thing is check registers. Now, you there in Alabama are blessed to have all of your school districts with their check registers online. Here in Texas, 70% of our local dollars are already online. So we've got almost 500 districts with their check registers online. So that's something you can take as a very positive thing. But y'all have to watch out for these charter schools in Alabama, because they're coming. It's a national trend. We, as I said, we've been successful. The House of Representatives here in Texas agreed with us, added all three of our fiduciary duty of care safeguards. That's what we're calling them, because that's what we need to keep those construction bonds safe, so that our permanent school funds stay safe. That's what gives our children the free textbook money. So we defeated the bill three times without the addition of the three bullet points, and then the fourth time it died on its own in the House calendars. And so now we've got it again in our special called session. So that's what we're trying to bring some transparency to. So that's our big news. We had the New York Times on Monday. We had the bill pass out. Oh, the other thing I should share with you, this bill passed out of the Senate Ed Committee on Monday. There are 9 people on that board, on that committee, rather, 9 state senators. A majority of them accepted a total of $15,000 from the Charter Operator Charter School Association PAC.
Wow.
So, follow the money. We had the 15 grand gift to the state senators, and then we had the vote where they voted 8-0 on a charter school bill. So I've asked them, if this is not pay to play, what is? Is $15,000
exactly
the cost of doing business in the state senate? So what y'all are doing there, be sure and follow the money. Follow
Ms.
the particulars of the money.
Is that in the news? Is that in the Texas news now? That information you just gave us, is that being, that should be plastered everywhere. People need to be calling their
Well, hopefully it will be soon. It's available all on my website. I've got many, many links, and it's all I use no adjectives. It's all just facts, just numbers and facts and dates. So I'd recommend that to you, and I thank y'all for letting me share our update, and I look forward to having hopefully some encouraging news next week. But the fact that the I call it the gray lady, that's what the New York Times nickname is, that the gray lady came to the red state is a pretty nice thing, that they're even paying attention. That's a blessing.
Wasn't nice. It's just absolutely amazing, because they don't do things like that.
Well, I will admit, I talked to the reporter for several months off the record. You will not see my name in the article. I just thought it was better to be a resource, and I'm happy to be a resource. I'm a resource for a lot of people. It's about our children, not my getting my name in print. Yeah.
Anyway, if we wanted to follow the money in Alabama and look at what you found, where the money was being spent, now how would they go about? Is it set up similarly where we can check certain?
You're going to have somewhere at your ethics commission, there are going to be lists somewhere, and they're not going to be easy to find. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves and burn the midnight oil probably. But look at your ethics commission, for any filings, and if you get stuck, call them during the daytime and ask them to tell you where they are. But for each of your legislators, for your PACs, they all have to have submitted reports.
Wow.
So I'm going to run off now. Thank you all so much. Thank you, and God bless you. Take care.
Thank you, Paige. Keep up the good work.
Well, she is just an awesome person, and, you know, look at the power of this one person. Because she has a passion for the children, and she doesn't just do these things. She actually goes out there and she teaches the children how to learn math. She's just not researching the oversight. She's actually is hands-on trying to change the culture, which really all of us is so needed. And I thank both of you for coming on. But I just want to point out on that website that Truth in Education, truthinamericaneducation.org. I love the page that says about state costs for adopting and implementing the Common Core. And I'm thinking this is something Bentley needs to know, which is California is going to cost them $1.6 billion to replace what they've got with a Common Core standard. So, of course, California is a huge state. Texas is going to cost them $3 billion. There's no doubt it's going to cost Alabama hundreds of millions, and that's the part our Board of Education needs to be telling us is the cost. And I think that's something that the legislature can demand, should be demanding, and Bentley should be demanding in this time of we don't have the money.
Oh,
you know,
great
and it's
point.
And
you know, Deanna.
Yes, ma'am.
About the legislature right now and that resolution. I know within your listening audience, you've got some of the greatest grassroots lobbyists. I know them, and they have made a dramatic difference in getting bills through and improving bills this session. I'm leading to accountability. Let's find out, and maybe you know how, who is holding back that resolution in the legislature. We need to hold somebody or some committee accountable if that's not voted on tomorrow. We need to know why and who.
Yes.
Well,
that's right.
I've heard some things already, which I'm not going to say here, but I have heard some things. But I think that will be, you're right, that will be the next step. I'm praying that they'll wake up. But also, I'd like to point out, as y'all were talking earlier, and we have an article on the website on how this started, and there were some words coming out of Lou Gerstner's mouth, which is really the plan for taking local control out of the way. And so, parents, you're listening. You want to be able to go to your local school board if there's a problem, but that is going to be taken away. Now, if that's not worth going to Montgomery and to Washington for, I don't know what is. You know, we don't have much control, but that is something that you have right now. And for them to just blatantly take it from your grasp without you knowing about it, I'm hoping the least you could do is research. And as you've heard from Ms. Zena and Mr. Campo, who knows it, you know, share this information. This is going to be on our podcast, www.cityonahill.tv. You need to download it or just, you know, send links to it. Because all of us need to be informed. There's so much. But I'm so grateful to you two and Ms. Payne and Ms. Barber because, you know, we've been talking about this since last year. And one of the most shocking things that we found out last year is when you had the Professor Jim Milgram, Professor Sandra Stotsky, who are the leaders in math education, English language art, that were on the National Validation Committee, and they're saying, whoa, something is wrong with these. And nobody's paying attention. They are the ones that developed the top standards in the nation in math and English language arts, but nobody's listening to them. So I think that was very telling. There is a big problem, and unfortunately, it's all about money. So we're going to close. We don't have but a minute, but I'm going to let you have some closing thoughts on this, Ms. Zena, if you don't mind, and then follow up with you, Lou, and Ms. Barber.
Okay.
I just want to thank the grassroots listeners in your audience, and if they want to get personally involved, please feel free to email me. My first name, ELOISZ@hotmail.com. Lou and I are going to try to work with other people and see what we can do to spread this message. This is the same thing as Obamacare. They want to pass the bill before the public finds out what's in it. That's what they're trying to do with federal takeover of education. They want this adopted by local boards of education before the parents and taxpayers wake up.
Well, I completely agree with that, and I think that the fundamental issue that we're dealing with Obama and these radicals is a complete destruction of how we have lived in the past 225 years. And that is their basic aim. They don't like this country. Their writings indicate that they don't like this country. We are, in their view, racist, homophobic, sexist, and that we are an international bully. And, of course, we reject all of those things. But just because we reject them mean that there aren't people who believe it, A, and B, there aren't people who are going to act on it. And that's exactly what we're getting in Washington right now, and it's filtering down to the states because they know that if they can clamp down on the states in education, control it, then they have won half the battle. And they're winning the other half of the battle in Washington with their regulations. Well, we beat them in November. We sent the Congress, you know, a clear message that we're not in favor of all these things. That's what these Republicans are supposed to be doing. I hope that they live up to their charge. That's what that election in November was about. And I think all of us have got to make sure that we contact Congress, let them know that we are opposed to what Obama is doing across the board, but especially in this issue of education, we have got to be successful, and we have to do it soon.
Well said, both of you, and I agree completely and wholeheartedly. I was thinking back to the beginning of this radio show as God gave Diana the vision for it. This was very much a part of that vision, to have well-informed, articulate people who are come on the show and share with our listening audience and be able to inform us and motivate us and activate us and give us the tools that we need to take action on these very, very important matters. So I was just so grateful. I'm just seeing this vision that Diana had come to pass, and today is just such a good example of that. I also want to mention that if it were not for Peyton Wolcott, Alabama would not be having the check registers online in all the school districts. Many other states would not have that available as well. She began this in Texas, and it was her example and her pattern that the other states followed. So we have that tool for accountability in our state and many other states as a result of Peyton Wolcott's work. And so I do urge everyone to go to her website as well. And I'm just very encouraged. We can do this. We can do this. And if each one
You're
will
right.
teach
we
one,
can.
As our friend Donna Garner says, it can be done. So let's just all do our part, and we will succeed in getting education back under local control. Thank you so very much, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for those words. And I'd just like to say, with Peyton Wolcott, you know, they really need, Texans need to be legislature. We're going to go over this show, but it'll be recorded. So, but San Antonio, we have listeners in San Antonio. We're grateful. We don't know what inspired you to listen, but we're very grateful. So please, they're wanting to build another one of these schools in San Antonio. So you need to be calling and passing this down to your Texas citizens, and because you can make a difference. You've shown that in the past. And also, I'd like to ask the listeners to tune in next week. We have got Grace Marie Turner on why Obamacare is wrong for America, and she has wrote that book and has a passion for the truth, and really she does it with such a common sense approach, which, Lou, you would love her. But she's coming on this Friday with Don Wildman, our friend from California, And, you know, they will break it down for us. She always does when she comes on once a month. But Dawn is right there with us doing the same thing. So please tune in. And tomorrow is Chaplain Klingsmith with everything, the onslaught on the military chaplains and, well, the military overall. Chaplain keeps us appraised of what's going on and how we can go about helping our military. So tune in tomorrow. And next week we will have our guest, Dan Parker. He is the one that will tell us what's going on in all. So please tune in next week and get informed in this fight against cap and trade, global warming. Oh, we've got so many issues, but this one right here, I think, hits the heart of every parent.
Yes.
Anybody that loves and cares about children. So let's start with this. You know, if you're new to this program, let's start with this one. Get to know as much as you can. So please go to www.cityonahill.tv, cityonahill.tv, and listen to the podcast again if you need to get some more notes on it, and share the truth. And there's, like Ms. Zena was referring to, this truth in AmericanEducation.org is going to be such a great tool, as well as Peyton Wilcox. I mean, those are two great tools for all of us. And I thank God for AFRW. They have meant so much to Alabama. And, Lou, we just thank you also for what you're doing. It's going to mean so much for the children of not just this state. As you're hearing, you know, Texas is very involved about education, California. We all have to band together, and we can do it. As, you know, I love what Washington says with, when he ends his speech where he says, you know, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. So
we are Americans, an exceptional nation.
Amen.
God is used to shine his goodness. My, the whole world needs to see America is great because God is great and merciful. So we want to share that with the whole world. And in closing, Ms. Barr, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Diana. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. We are so grateful to you, Father, for all those that you are raising up to teach us, inform us, and equip us, Father, for the battle ahead. We thank you, Father, that we will not grow weary in well-doing, as you tell us in your word, for in due time we will reap a harvest. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement that we have. For you, there are the God of all encouragement. Thank you for the hope. You are the God of all hope. And we place our trust in you, Father. We ask your blessing upon our guests, upon our listeners, upon our nation, O God. Forgive us of our sins, O God. And turn us back to you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you for our guests who have given so much of their precious time. And they do this because they love this nation. God bless you, listeners. May God shine his face upon you, and tune in again to City on the Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.